Shine. We are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. On the second, not for weight of glory, not for crown and palm. Enter we the army, raise the warrior psalm. But for love that claimeth lies for whom he died, he whom Jesus nameth must be on his side. By thy love constraining, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. Jesus, thou hast bought us, not with gold. Side. Savior, we are thine. Good singing on the last. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the king's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ranging, victory is secure, for his truth unchanging makes the triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine.
Man, thank you everyone for coming out this morning. Brother Blake, can you open us up with a word of prayer? Man, page 504 in your blue hymnal, page 504. When the battle's over, page 504. Let's all sing it out on the first.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem on the last. Sure, I must fight if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, support it by thy word. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown. Wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Amen. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. Great singing, everybody. And it's going to be an amazing day when we get that crown of glory. Amen. So, welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church, and let's take our bulletins and look at them really quickly. If you need a bulletin, just raise up your hand. One of the ushers will bring you a bulletin. Anybody got one? All right, there's Justin there. All right, our verse of the week says, "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." Psalms chapter 107, verse 29, of course. That's the Lord it's talking about, and he's able to calm the storms. There's lots of storms going on right now, especially for Pastor Mejia at First Works Baptist Church, and so we're continuing to pray for him. I was looking in history of this country where if a church has ever been bombed before. And of course there has been in the South, a couple churches, you know, back in the civil rights days got bombed, but I couldn't find any instances of a Bible-believing church being bombed before in this country. So that's the first. But of course, you know, the news outlets are, you know, given a caveat as to why they were able to bomb them, because they stood for the truth, you know, against the LGBT sickos that have been persecuting them for a few weeks now, but that's what they're going to say. Oh, it's okay, it's fine, you know, because they hated people, you know. Well, the Bible says there's a time to love and a time to hate. Is the speaker not working?
Is it working?
Oh, yeah, there, okay. I just thought I sounded loud, I don't know. I didn't even notice. Okay. So continue to pray for Pastor Mejia and First Works Baptist Church. It's a real shame. Well, it's been a lot to be done, and I really honestly wouldn't be surprised if they didn't just bring anybody to justice. That won't surprise me at all. But I mean, it's a big deal. It's in the New York Times, it's in CNN, but they're just not reporting it as if it's something that was bad that happened. It kind of has an underlying tone in those. But, you know, I thought it was a hate crime to persecute people for their religious beliefs. You know, I thought that that was part of, it's a hate crime, isn't it? They hate us because of what we believe. Isn't that a hate crime? But I guarantee you they probably won't even get persecuted or prosecuted for it. So anyway, our service times at Sure Foundation Baptist Church: Sunday morning service is 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening service tonight is at 3:30 p.m. Our Thursday Bible study is at 6:30 p.m. And we'll still be in 1 John chapter 2 for one more sermon. So last week I preached about the Antichrist, the coming Antichrist, and this week I'm going to preach about the spirit of Antichrist and those that are Antichrists. So there's many Antichrists in the world, and of course, you know, First Works Baptist Church, that's been revealed in that those people are Antichrist. The LGBT agenda is Antichrist. Black Lives Matter is Antichrist. And there's many other Antichrists in the world. We're going to talk about that on Thursday night. So our so many times are listed below. We have soul winning at 1 p.m. today. And Brother Brandon is going to have the maps ready. I need three captains
It looks like today, is anybody willing to be a captain? All right, one, two, and three. All right, so we have three captains. So, Brandon, did you see those hands? Okay, great. And if you're running late or if you're not in the WhatsApp group, we do our soul winning through a WhatsApp group. So if you need the address, you're going to need to get with Brandon to get the address if you're from out of town. And we appreciate, by the way, everybody coming from out of town. And you're expecting a different preacher, I think. But I tried to get the word out, but Pastor Mejia is unable to attend. He was supposed to be preaching here today for both services, but that's been altered. That changed. You know, if you didn't want to preach on my birthday, Pastor Mejia, I mean, you could have went about it some other way. Just kidding. But just pray for them. I know that's got to be hard. I mean, I don't know what the extent of the damage is in the building. I haven't really got a chance to talk to Pastor Mejia. I've texted him, but you know, obviously he's very busy. So trying to work things out. I know they're having church service today in an undisclosed location. So there's obviously an investigation going on with all that. So, but we're going to go soul winning today. Amen.
Amen.
And we have regional soul winning times. Brother Neb's been tearing it up in Tacoma. He's had like five saved in the last couple weeks. So that's great. And the respective leaders are there underneath the regional soul winning times. We've had 19 salvations so far for January. Praise God for that. Our kids' Spanish class is going to be this next Tuesday at 6 p.m. So isn't it next Tuesday or is it? I always get confused. The Tuesday after, excuse me. I got the, is it next? Next Tuesday, okay. Not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. Okay, that's why it says next. Okay. All right. And then the baby shower for Nikki Ritchie has been postponed I think we're trying to get a new date going on here. But they are registered on Amazon under Evan Ritchie. So if you want to get them a gift for their shower, for their new baby that they're going to have, just go to Amazon.com. So look for the baby registries. All right, we'll get a new, I don't know when the new date is. Do you got a new date yet? No? Okay. You failed me for the last time. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so we'll get that figured out. On February 6th, we have the Aloha Sweetheart Married Couples Banquet, and that will be on the 6th. That's a Saturday night, and Pastor Enrique Reyes will be joining us with his wife, Mary. And he's going to be preaching a short sermon, and we're going to have a nice dinner. We're going to have a Hawaiian dinner. It's all Hawaiian-themed. So even if you can't go to Hawaii this year, you know, we'll bring Hawaii to you, a taste of Hawaii. So that's a good restaurant we're going to go to, or we're going to have catered. So it's going to be really nice, but I do need you to RSVP on the church email address, or, that'd be probably the best thing, to just email us and tell us you're going to come. And we're going to have kind of like babysitting, but it's not really, I mean, it kind of is, but they're just like going to be right in the next room where the blinds open so you can still see them beating your kids while you eat. And I'm just teasing. So you can still see. But if you're not comfortable doing that, we're a family in a great church. If you want to have your babies all on your laps while you're having a sweetheart moment, that's up to you. And I realize that everybody's at different walks of life. You know, me and my wife don't have to chase, she's chasing my grandchild right now, but we don't have to chase children around, things like that. So, but don't worry, you'll get there. So at some point, you'll be able to do things like that a little more. But anyway, so that's going to be a fun time, and make sure you RSVP for that. The Men's Spiritual Leadership, and Pastor Enrique Reyes will be preaching for us February 7th on both services. So he's a great guy. He's a great friend of mine. So looking forward to having him come preach for us. And we have the Men's Spiritual Leadership class at 6 p.m. on February 9th, and the Homeschool Valentine's Party at 11 p.m. 11 p.m.? Kind of sweetheart, I mean, what kind of Valentine's party is this? 11 p.m.? So it's actually going to be, I think, at 11 a.m. So that's okay. Rylan, he has good days and bad days, so just like all of us. All right, so it'll be at 11 a.m. at the church building on February 12th. February 14th, I'll be preaching at Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento. And April 25th, I'll be preaching at Steadfast OKC. We have the Hawaiian anniversary trip tentatively scheduled. I mean, it's not tentatively. It's going to be But before that, I did get this locked in. We are going to have another missions trip to a nation that we've been to before, the Yakima Nation. So we're doing that May 17th through 21st. So it's locked in stone. It's happening. Brother Corbin's going to be coming to help again. And we're going to be preaching at the same church that we preached at. Both me and Brother Corbin will be preaching two different nights there. And so if you want to go, of course, I need to know about that. So, but, you know, it's, I'm telling you this far in advance because, you know, people need to get time off of work and things like that if they want to go. And if you don't want to go to the whole thing, you don't have to go to the whole thing. If you want to go to two nights, you can go to two nights. We just need to know how many people, how many nights, what nights you're going to be there. All right. And so last year we ate like kings and, you know, we stayed in a nice hotel. It was really nice. And, this is a great time. We had 115 salvations, so I wanted to replicate that this year, and maybe more people could come, and we can have an even better time. So we had a lot of fun. That was literally the highlight of my year. Usually it's the pumpkin patch, but I think it was this year it was that. So the pumpkin patch was lame this year with all the COVID stuff. But anyway, it might have been fun for your kids, but it wasn't fun for me. Anyway, so let's see. Yeah, so I'll just, you know, the coronavirus rules is no handshaking, no hugging, keep your distance when you're talking, don't come to church sick. The Bible memory passage that we've been working on is John 14, 1 through 6. You should be starting on verse 3. This is week 3, so the first three are easy. They flow really easily. So if you get the whole thing done, you'll get a special prize at the end of the 6 weeks. So we're on week 3, so you got three. Actually, with this week, 4 weeks to go, but this is the third week we're doing it. And so if you quote that word perfect to a non-family member, then you will get a prize at the end. So, and also, giving records are available upon request. We're not going to have them out until the last week of January, but if you want a giving record of your giving for this year, just email me and let me know. Nobody else has emailed me lately, but we do have some that want them. So if you want them, just they're available upon request, all right? And then, again, pray for Pastor Mejia and First Works Baptist Church. Pray for the UK, future UK church plant that we're planning on launching soon in March, Lord willing. And then the Seattle plants, the Seattle church we're planning on August of this year. So got a lot of great things going on this year. And so, yeah, you're all going to be a part of it. So hopefully, you know, you are a part of it, you know, but not everybody can do everything. I understand that. So, pick what you want to do and stick to that. If you only have 1 week of vacation per year, like some people, I feel sorry for you, but, if you want a churchcation, that's what we usually would do. So, I mean, you know, we're here to serve the Lord, right? So, if we can do extra, we can do extra. We're a family integrated church. That means the children and infants are welcome during the church services, and we don't separate the children from their parents for any reason. We do have mother baby rooms and a dad baby room available downstairs for your convenience. If your child becomes a screamo, then please take them promptly to the mother baby room. Chatter and things like that, it doesn't bother me, but like if they're literally just screaming, stopping me in my tracks, then please just take them out and then bring them back in when they stop crying. So. And then make sure that you're latching the baby gates. If you're not here a lot and you don't know how to latch those, just get one of the ushers to help you. That one back there is a little more complicated than this one over here. That one, just you open it and it shuts behind you most of the time. So, but that one over there is difficult, plus the stairs are difficult. So if you have a difficult time going downstairs with children, you should use that way to go down the stairs. So we have restrooms, ladies' restrooms located back there, and then one downstairs for the men. And so no food in the assembly area. That rule is back in place. And silence your cell phones at this time, if you would, please. Make sure you get an usher to escort you to a vehicle if you're a lady or you're a single lady or you have your children, your husband's not here. The ushers are the guys with the pens that say usher on them. So I know you guys have tuned me out, but let's tune back in, all right? So let's go. We're going to sing Happy Birthday to some birthday people. So Andrea, what? It's your birthday tomorrow or something? Okay. And then Miss Jessica, I know that for sure because she shares my birthday. So today's my birthday also. And I'm not singing to myself. So someone else is going to come up here and sing happy birthday. There's other people. There's Tamara had a birthday just recently. There you are. And then one other person. Who was it? Oh, Michelle. Yeah. Hi, Michelle. All right. So, Brandon, are you going to come up and sing happy birthday for us? You going to play it? Can you play the tune? All right. Let's play the tune.
All right.
It's been 5 years we've been able to play the tune.
All right. Let's sing happy birthday on three. Happy birthday on three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Brother Justin and Brother CJ have a special gift for Pastor.
Also, if you're a first-time visitor, I don't know if anybody here is a first-time visitor, but if you are, we have a special gift that we'd like to give you. It's the film New World Order Bible Versions. We also have Being Baptist in there, I believe, and CD and some other stuff. So if it's your first time here, please grab one of these on the way out. And we thank you for being a guest at our church. And I think that's all for announcements. Is there anything else that I needed to say? Is anybody? Okay. I don't think so. All right. Well, let's sing another song, and then we'll receive the offering.
Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Psalm 11, let's sing it out on that first verse. In the Lord put I my trust, I'll say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. His soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. In the Lord put I my trust. Man, at this time we'll have our offering. Brother Justin, can you bless it for us? All right, go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, if you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring you one. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, the Bible reads, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Brother Ramon, will you pray for us?
Amen. The title of the sermon this morning is Hated of All Men. Hated of All Men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this great people that you have, the Israel of God here. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to minister to them today and to preach the word of God in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I pray you right now you'd fill me with your spirit and help me to preach boldly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're in Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse number 16. It says, "Behold, I send you as forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." See, one thing that people don't understand about Christianity, there's a lot of Christians out there that don't ever suffer persecutions.
They don't ever suffer them. You know why? Because they're not living godly in Christ Jesus. So when you see a church that literally gets bombed by their enemies happen, I mean, like I said in the announcements, this is unprecedented. This is something that's never happened before in America as far as like, I mean, because, I mean, I don't know what the church was like that were bombed in the 60s, but that was over civil rights, which of course was still wicked. But as far as like a Bible-believing church ever getting firebombed like they did, I don't know that that's ever happened in America before. I could be wrong, so if I'm wrong about that, forgive me, but I used Google. So so if there was another one there that I didn't know about, I don't know. But as far as I know, that's never happened. See, God sends us out, the Lord Jesus Christ sends us out as sheep among what? Wolves. And so, in case you didn't realize, sheep are not the most, you know, if you think of a powerful animal and a really tough animal, what do you think of sheep? No. So what is the Lord trying to tell us here is that as sheep, you know, we should be led by a shepherd. As sheep, we should go out and, you know, we're not, sheep aren't known as attack animals, are they? They're not predators. So we're supposed to be harmless, like sheep are harmless. And we're supposed to go out in the midst of wolves. What does that mean, in the midst of? Well, that means that wolves are surrounding us all around. But we're supposed to go into the midst of those wolves, but be sheep. It's a very difficult thing. Because my upbringing is different than a lot of people's upbringing. There's some people in here that grew up gangster, you know. And I wouldn't say I was full gangster. I hung out with gangsters. I did some bad things when I was younger, but I was never like a drive-by shooter, or I never bombed people's houses. I never did things like that, but I was, you know, I grew up rough. I grew up in a broken home, and, you know, when people attack, before I was saved, when people would attack me, they'd get attacked back. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was never really a bully growing up, but when people would pick on me, then I'd instead of turning the other cheek, I would turn their cheek, is what I'm saying. Okay? So, but as Christians, we're not supposed to battle in the flesh. We're not supposed to our battle is not a physical battle. Amen. See, but does that stop our enemies from making it physical? No, because the enemies of God, these wolves, these are wicked people. Yeah. So we're supposed to go out in the midst of a wicked people, of wolves. I mean, what are wolves like? Wolves will tear sheep to shreds for no reason. They will kill just to kill. They don't just kill sheep to eat them. A lot of times they'll, if they come upon a flock, they'll kill every sheep even if they're not going to eat them all. Because what do wolves do? They attack sheep. They attack innocent animals that can't defend themselves. And so as sheep, you know, you see some sheep have horns. Has anybody ever been like rammed by a sheep or something? Okay. So sometimes the males can get a little spunky, right? and they'll bump you. But goats, like, they'll definitely, you know, you turn your back on a goat and they're going to go after you. But that's just, they're kind of like wolves too. I mean, goat are, you know, they're not as obviously as aggressive as wolves are, but they can't ferociously tear you to pieces like a wolf can, but they can ram you. So every once in a while, we have to use our horns to defend ourselves, right? Just like a sheep would. But in general, you know, sheep are not attack animals. But the Bible says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Our calling is to go out into the world and be harmless to people. We're not supposed to fight physical battles. We're not supposed to attack back. I guarantee you that Pastor Mejia right now is not planning to bomb some kind of retaliation to what happened to their church, which is a disgrace. They're not trying to plan a retaliation bombing, because that's not what we're called to do. And unfortunately, we have to take things like that all the time. Even just going to and knocking on doors, people are very rude to us. Their mat says welcome, all are welcome, but they don't mean us, do they? When they cuss us out, and sometimes they'll threaten to fight us. You know, sometimes we'll leave a card on their door, and the next thing you know, there's a bunch of sodomites, filthy, disgusting pigs out in front of our church protesting us. So we've been protested also, but not on the magnitude that happened with Pastor Mejia. See, now we have new leadership in this country. And so I think because they were already given carte blanche to do whatever they wanted before this,
right,
now they think that they still can. And maybe they can. Maybe they will. I mean, the FBI and the police department, we'll see if they actually bring someone to justice. They might just bring a patsy. Who knows? But what was done at First Works Baptist Church was calculated.
Yep.
It was planned. And they were being threatened.
Yeah.
And I talked on Thursday night, and this is before the bombing happened, that, you know, we've been threatened on Facebook too.
Yeah.
We had a guy that threatened to come and kill everybody in our congregation one time, and I reported that to the police, and they're like, well, we can't really do anything about it.
Right.
Oh, really? You can't? You got his name. You know where he lives. He's threatening to come and shoot up our church because of something I preached. And that's the thing. When we go out in the midst of the wolves, we're supposed to be preaching the truth of God's word.
Yep, amen.
And as a pastor, I'm supposed to be preaching God's word. And you know what? The wolves don't like being told that they're wicked.
Right.
The people out in the world, the worldly people, do not like being told that they're wicked or something they're doing is wicked. Do they attack us every day? Not necessarily every day, but they do attack. And especially when they hear something that's against the status quo of the devil that's going on in this world right now. Because what the Bible says is contrary to every wicked thing in this world. But what are we supposed to be like? We're supposed to be like sheep. See, if a man strives, he's supposed to strive lawfully. The man of God. We're supposed to strive lawfully. We're supposed to, and then be harmless as doves, the Bible says right here. Wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We're not using literal armor of God. We're using spiritual armor to fight our battles.
Amen.
And the sword of the Lord is the word of God.
Yep.
That's our attack weapon.
Amen.
And so people don't like it when you attack their darkness. They don't like when the light is shined in their eyes and puts forth the gospel to them. So number one, we're hated because of how we're sent out. See, bullies and wicked people will always try to physically attack and physically harm people when they know that they won't defend themselves.
Yep.
And when it comes to the Word of God and preaching God's Word and going out and going soul winning and doing great works for God, we're expected to do it in a harmless manner.
Right.
If someone comes, we go to the door and they say, hey, let's fight, we shouldn't go, oh, let's go. That'd be a bad mistake. Like Pastor Jones, the first time I ever went soul winning with him, someone challenged him to a fight, and he dropped his backpack. He's like, come on. However, Pastor Jones has learned from that lesson. But I was just like, dang. This guy's chafed in his mind. He don't care. But you know, it would have been a big mistake for that guy to come at Pastor Jones, by the way. If anybody's ever seen him hit mitts or roll in jiu-jitsu, he's a tough guy. So that'd be like the biggest mistake of that guy. That would have been the biggest mistake of that guy's life to come out. But see, and the guy wasn't necessarily a sodomite, but these people, these haters of God, they usually won't come by themselves. They are like dogs. They're brute beasts. I'm talking about reprobates here, not just regular sinners, okay? I'm talking about reprobates. They're like dogs in a lot of different ways. They're like brute beasts, aren't they? That's what the Bible compares them to, is brute beasts. The Antichrist is called the beast, which is why I think he's a fag. But you got to understand that the Bible compares them to that for what reason? Because they're willing to do anything. You know, what do brute beasts do? They attack things. They kill things. You know, if you think of like a lion. What's a lion going to do if you're just strolling through the Sahara by yourself? And you just happen to walk past them. What do you think they're going to do? Smile at you? No, they're going to eat you with a smile on their face, but they're not going to smile at you. They'll be like, what a dumb human. But, these people are compared to brute beasts for a reason. Because, you know, but what does a dog do? Like these little dog packs. Have you ever seen these little dog packs in Africa? They're tiny dogs, but they'll go in big packs. And then they'll attack big things because together they're tough, but when they're by themselves, they're scared. You can throw a little rock at them and they'll run away. When we were in White Swan, I was just talking to Pastor Rick Messler on the phone yesterday, and White Swanee's like, I've never seen that many pit bulls in my whole life. Blake was about to have the family jewels removed by a big pit bull when he was at the door. You know, I mean, but isn't it funny how people are compared, these wicked people are compared to wolves? What's a wolf? Yeah. It's a dog.
Yeah.
And dogs are willing to hurt anybody for any reason. They just don't care. Yeah. And that's what these reprobates are like. God, but Jesus sends us out still. So one thing that we have to understand about ourselves is that we are sent out that way and we have to strive lawfully.
Right.
See, the wicked people, they won't strive lawfully. Is it against the law to bomb a building? Yeah, that's why the FBI was there. Because it's against the law. It's a federal offense to bomb a building. But yet, they don't have to strive lawfully. They can do whatever they want to us, and it seems like nobody really cares. But get used to it. Why am I preaching this sermon? Because we have to understand our position in this battle. And although we're angry, and we want to strike back, and we want to do that, you know, there's times when I felt like fighting people. But you know what? I can't do that. That's not my calling. My calling is to you know, so I have to resist those urges to, you know. Back in the day, if someone got in my face, they're going to get punched. Seriously. Like, I felt like if you, you know, there's a danger zone when someone gets in front of you and they're like, you know, they're acting like they're going to hit you. But the first time I ever dropped somebody, I was 18 years old. And I realized, I have man strength now. I was like, but you know what that made me realize is that someone else could do the exact same thing to me if I let them do that. And so every time after that, it was hit first, ask questions later. Oh, you weren't trying to fight me. Well, maybe you shouldn't have got in my face, you know. But I can't be like that anymore. I've never been in a fight since I've been saved. So, and it's not because, you know, I just lost the desire to fight when I got, you know. It's because I know I'm not supposed to. The Bible says we're supposed to keep God's commandments. And His commandments are not grievous unto us. So we have to fight a different battle. Our battle is a spiritual battle. Why do they, what, they hate us because of how we're sent out. The way we're sent out is as sheep. And again, let's think about the animal comparison of a dove. All right, who's seen a dove in the wild before? I've seen them. I've heard they're tasty, but they're small meat. But they fly weird, and you know they're. But do you think of them as like if you want to say, you know, if I had an eagle at my rest, you know, if I had some kind of bird that I could control, it would go do things for me. Is it a dove? Because doves don't attack things, do they? Now, falcons, people like train falcons and they go and they hunt for them. They'll go out and snatch something and bring it back to them. There's certain, you know, they're just certain kind of birds of prey is what they're called. And they're pretty. I saw a bald eagle eat a Canadian goose one time. And I was like, America. But we're like on this boat trip and all of a sudden I look over and there's this giant eagle. I mean, it was huge. And it's just eating a Canadian goose. And I was just like, well, that just tells so many different things, you know. But you don't, you never see a dove eating anything besides like seeds and things like that. So that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be harmless. And because we're harmless in the world and these people, these wolves know that that's how we're supposed to be, that just gives them even more incentive to attack us. Like Stephen. Think about Stephen. When they grabbed him, that was it. He didn't like go into kung fu mode and start, you know, beating all these guys up and then finally they rest. No. He knew what was gonna happen and he just was like, you know, this is what I gotta do. And he said, Father, forgive them. He wanted them to be forgiven. His mission was to go out and reach people. And what happened? He went out amongst the wolves. And they caught him, and they stoned him to death. They killed him. Why? Because he was preaching about their works being evil. And the fact that they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can't be an attack animal. We can't be sent out as, you know, animals that are not known for attacking people. Because that's the picture here. And so we're hated because of how we're sent out. Turn to Matthew 11, just a page over in your Bible, verse 12. Even the first prophet that was ever born, the first saved person that was born of Adam and Eve, what happened to him? He was murdered by Cain. Why? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. So people have always been killing people of faith throughout, from the first person ever born until the end. That's what's going to happen. So we have to put that in perspective in our minds and understand that. So it says in verse 12 here, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Suffereth violence. What does suffereth mean? Allows. Or it actually means suffering. We suffer violence. We get attacked. We get beat up. People get killed. Now, that hasn't started happening yet, but it's going to. And so a sermon like this will help prepare your heart. And it's not going to be easy to have to go through stuff like this, but we shouldn't be surprised. We need to quit being surprised by stuff like this. And obviously, it's a shock to see what's happened down in LA. It's a shock. I mean, it is a big deal. But it's the beginning of things like this happening. They're ramping it up. Now we'll see if, you know, and obviously people that see this, people that live in that neighborhood, hopefully they see the sodomites for exactly what they are, which is wicked people. There's nothing good about them. What do they do? Show up half-dressed, show up looking like the biggest freak show faggots you've ever seen in your life, like the circus, the gay circus has come to town or something. They were going to do a drag queen party in front of that building today, but they canceled it because they don't want to look bad, worse than they already look. They already look bad now.
Yeah.
But what do you think those neighborhood people would think of them if they came and protested the building? You know, obviously they can't even meet in the building right now. But what do you think that those people would think? Hopefully this wakes some people up. Hopefully the Sodomite Deception movie wakes some people up. You know, and if we could just reach some people with that message, because people need to hear it. Why, you know, people get upset because we preach against the sodomites so much. But you know what? This, like Pastor Anderson said in the film, you know, he said, I didn't realize this was going to be the fight of our time. When I was a kid, I didn't realize this was going to be the fight of our time. You know, I didn't even realize that, I don't even know if I'd ever met a sodomite that I knew was a sodomite for sure. Until I was way into the 1990s. Today I'm 46 years old, by the way. So the 1990s seems like a long way. Some of you guys were born after that. So, but one of my teachers was a faggot. And then she started talking about it in the classroom one time, and people were pissed about it. I was pissed about it. We're like, hey, you're not supposed to be talking about that stuff in here. But, you know, she had some allies in there, in the classroom. So, but, I mean, even then, people were outraged over homos. It was she wasn't an open homo. She had influenced the class enough to share the fact that she was. And they try to act all innocent. And they try to act like they're just so loving. Is it loving to bomb somebody's church building? How loving is that? You know why they hate us? Because our deeds are righteous, and their deeds are evil. And they can't stand to have a man of God get up and preach about how wicked they are. It angers them. Because they've been given carte blanche to do whatever they want now. They're out of the closet. First day, you know, they just wanted the right to be married. That's all we want. But you know what? They're implacable. That's not all they want. They're implacable. That means they're unable to be placated. They're always going to want more. Nothing's ever going to be good enough except the kingdom.
Right.
And you know what? I cannot believe how many faggot-affirming churches there are in this area and across that bridge right there. They should be ashamed of themselves. There's no faggots ever going to be allowed in this building. And if they pretend, well, that's their problem. But if I find out you're a queer, you're getting bounced out the door quickly. We're going to ask you nice twice. You know, and if you're coming in and try to play our piano and say, oh, I could be here if I want, someone might just pick you up and throw you out the building. Right? Right, Anthony? It's happened. We don't want these sick, disgusting perverts around our children. Why do we have to be family integrated? Because there's so many perverts out there that want to have access to children.
Yep.
I'm only on point one. Good night. I got to move on here. But see, the Bible says, you're already in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. It says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. See, we can't be violent back. We're not supposed to be violent back. Jesus said, I send you out as sheep. Be harmless as a dove. That means we're not supposed to fight back. That's what it means. Not in that way. How do I do my fighting? From the pulpit. For the word of God, the sword of the Lord, that's what we use. That's how we hit back. But see, they don't have to do that. They don't have to keep the rules. And the fact that they did that is an evident token of their perdition. A token is something you can visibly see that represents, you know, something. So that token is an evident token of their perdition. When they do the wicked works that they do, it just shows us what they really are. Because loving people that, you know, are diverse, people that believe in equity, those kind of people, it's just a lie. Yeah. Straight out of the pit of hell. They don't even believe that themselves. Because they do hate us.
Yeah.
The Bible says we're hated of all men.
Right.
And that includes fags. Yeah. They probably hate us the most.
Yep.
I mean, if you were watching that film, one of the parts of it says impeach God.
Yeah.
That's not all. They didn't want just Donald Trump out. They want God out.
Yeah.
So don't let this bombing allow the haters of God to strike fear into your hearts. That's what they want. That's the ultimate goal, is to make people afraid and to make them be scared and think and to double think. Should I really be in this movement? Is this really of God? Well, you know, if you actually read your Bible, you would know that this movement is of God. When you're being persecuted, guess what? When you're being persecuted, that's a telltale sign that you're on the right team. Because Jesus said that we're going to be the violent will try to take it by force. We suffer violence. One thing that I was talking to Pastor Shelley, so I can't take this quote and use it as my own, but here's something he said to me the other night when we were talking. He said, I'd rather die in an explosion than to go to hell. I mean, I'd rather die in an explosion than to live the rest of my life as a compromiser. So think about that before you just quit. Because you're not just quitting on this church. You'd be quitting on God. And you know what? I would rather get bombed and know that I'm going straight to heaven with more rewards for being a martyr than to live the rest of my life and just roll out some faggot flag in front of my church building and say, all are welcome. Like this stinking place next door. All are welcome. That's a hit right in our face. Even the coffee shop. Homophobes are not allowed. Well, you know what? Homophobes are keeping your business alive, so you better be careful what you're saying. I did confront them about that. And they're like, oh, we didn't mean you.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. But I'm not a homophobe. I just hate them.
I'm
not afraid of them. So whenever someone calls you a homophobe, just say, I'm not a homophobe. I'm not afraid of queers. I just don't like them. Now, if I was surrounded by them, that might be a different story.
Yeah.
But you know, the Bible says one man can chase 1,000,
right?
Two men can chase 10,000. So, I mean, really, I've walked through a sea of sodomites before, and they didn't lay a finger on me. You know why? Because God was protecting me.
Amen.
God was protecting Verity Baptist Church. I mean, you saw that clip where Brother Vladdy kind of walks by, but we all made that procession. And they had cages to hold them back, just like the animals that they are.
Yeah.
Pastor Jones was walking by, and this guy was going, ah, ah, ah. And he's like, you're weak. Famous Joe Jones quote. You're weak. They hated us. And you know what? If the police wouldn't have been there, they would have tried to rip us from limb to limb. So don't think that they don't hate us. They hate us. And so Psalm chapter 2, let's turn over to Psalm chapter 2. Keep your place in Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to come back to that. But Psalm chapter number 2. Psalm chapter 2. Verse number one, the Bible says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" Why do the heathen rage? What is a rage when you're just freaking out, you're upset, you're angry? And then look, they imagine a vain thing. Just like they imagine evolution, just like they imagine all these things happen that didn't really happen, but they're imagining something that they wish could happen, but it's never going to happen.
Amen.
They want to overthrow God. They want to destroy all God's people. But you know what? They're not going to be able to do it. The Bible says the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, this is what they say, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us." You know what God's going to do? He's going to laugh. He's going to laugh in their faces when they try to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was preaching about this Thursday, but you know what? We get to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ and see the destruction of the wicked beast army. And the Antichrist and the false prophet.
Amen.
And Satan is cast into hell for 1,000 years. We get to see that.
Amen.
So don't forget that.
Right.
They might kill our body. They might hurt us. Our family might turn away from us. Our friends might turn away from us. The world might turn away from us. But you know who's not going to turn away from us? God.
Amen.
And He's going to have the recompense.
Right.
And they're going to reap the whirlwind that they sowed the wind to. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. Still keep your place in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39 says, "But I say unto you, that you resist not evil." What does that mean? We're not supposed to fight back. "Resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." So, someone slaps you in the face, turn, that's what you're supposed to do to our enemies, right? We're supposed to resist not evil. When people attack us for the reasons of the gospel, I'm not saying don't defend your homes. Don't get me wrong here. If 100 sodomites showed up at my house, they're going to get the heater, okay? Because then I know what they're trying to do. I'm not going to allow them a foot inside my house. So they could say, "Pastor, come out, Pastor Thompson, come out." They're always wanting to surround somebody's building, aren't they?
Yep.
You know what they said to Pastor Mejia last week in the protest? "Come out, Bruce, come out. Come out, Bruce, come out," chanting that while he's preaching. And they don't even realize that they're fulfilling self-fulfilled prophecy, because that's what the sodomites did in Judges chapter 19.
Right.
That's what the sodomites did in Genesis chapter 19.
Yep.
"Come out, that we may know you." That's what they want to do. They want us to come out so they can rip us from limb to limb. And what do they want to do? They want to harm.
Yeah.
They want to harm us. They want to rape men. They're disgusting.
Yeah.
When we had that protest, that girl, she said that she was going to turn our daughters into lesbians.
Yeah.
"We're going to come to your church." "Oh, no, you're not."
Right.
They're going to come, but they're not getting in the front door.
Right.
Did anybody get in the front door?
Oh.
Nope. And I stood out there and talked crap to him for hours. It was fun. But you know what they did to Pastor Jimenez when he had his big fight against the sodomites? I was standing outside listening to them say, "Come out, Roger, come out. Come out, Roger, come out." Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what they do. They want us to come out so they can harm us. So they can do vile and disgusting things to us. You're in Matthew, did I already do Matthew 5? Yeah, so, yeah, Matthew, so turn to Matthew chapter 26. It's a Matthew day. We are coming back to Matthew chapter 10, though. All right, so, verse 51. "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear." We know this is Peter. Peter's the one that chopped off his ear. Because what happened? Judas betrayed Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did his disciples, you know, he told them to go buy two swords. Or he said to go buy a sword, right? So they might have thought, well, we need to fight. This is time to fight. They're trying to arrest our Savior right now. They're trying to take him when he's not with they. And you know what? When they wanted to take him at night, when the people weren't around, because if they would have tried to do that with the people around, they wouldn't have been able to do it. So they were trying to find him and get him when he was out on his own, just with a few people. So Peter cuts off the high priest's servant's ear. And what does Jesus say in verse 52? Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword in its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Did the Lord Jesus Christ need Peter to stick up for him? Did he need him to chop up the high priest's servant? No. He could have literally just spoke and they would have exploded right there. Because everything obeys the voice of God.
Amen.
When Jesus speaks, things happen. So he could have had the angels come and destroy them, whatever he wanted to do. But that's not the fight that we're in. Did Jesus fight back physically? No, he didn't. He allowed himself to be killed. He died for our sins. And could he have defended himself? Oh, very easily. But you see, we're supposed to be like our Lord. We're supposed to follow in his footsteps. We're supposed to put on the new man, and our battle is a spiritual battle. So when we go out, we're supposed to be harmless. I'm not up here trying to start a fight where I say, hey, everybody, take up arms, and if they come back next time, we're going to shoot them all. I'm not saying that, because that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be harmless. We're supposed to be like sheep. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. The Bible spells this out for us. Jesus was our example of this fact. This is my longest point, but it's a long one. Sorry. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you know what? When a news agency is telling us that, you know, the reason why they got bombed is because they're anti-LGBT. I mean, that's not really the real reason. The real reason is because Pastor Mejia preaches the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, we're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God and not apologize about it.
Yep.
Jeff Owens,
right.
You simpleton. I don't preach like that anymore. He preached probably one of the hardest sermons ever on the Sodomites and said that we should go. He actually was threatening them with violence, which I don't agree with. But then he backs it up. I didn't even believe that when I preached it. What? You fag hag. You queer bait. He probably lets them in his church now too, doesn't he? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not fleshly. They're not real swords. They're not real shields. They're not real armor. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's a lot of strongholds in this world right now, but you know what? The Lord is going to help us pull those down, but not through weapons of war. We're not laying siege. We're not real commandos with machine guns trying to go and destroy people. We're in the Lord's army, but our army is a spiritual army.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to do spiritual things. Our goal is to actually seek and save that which is lost, just like Jesus did. But we do have the power to pull down spiritual strongholds, you know, and we can break through their ranks and we can get some people saved. We can save some people alive. Verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's our job. You know, the best we can be is going to make us the best soldiers we can be. You know that army slogan says, be all you can be? It's actually kind of true. But in a physical sense, that's what they're talking about. But us, it's a spiritual. Be all you can be. Be the best Christian that you can be. And you know what? You're going to be able to pull down strongholds. You're going to be able to destroy the enemy but not with a real sword, not with your fist, but with the word of God. Amen. And being a righteous person. God wants it. Why does he want us to be righteous? Because we can do more things for him when we're obedient. So number two this morning, because they hate us, they want to hurt us. Because they hate us, they want to hurt us. So they don't only want to, they don't only hate us because of how we're sent out. They hate us because they want, you know, they want to hurt us because they hate us. So turn back in your text to Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at verse 17. Matthew 10, verse number 17. The Bible says, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues." Now, of course, you know, the Jews don't have the power like that to do that to us right now. You know, and obviously he was talking to his disciples and things like that. But I mean, when you apply this to us, we should still beware of men. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And know that they will try to deliver us up. Yeah. They'll try to go after people's jobs. And what kind of a scumbag tries to get someone fired because of what they believe? Right. The same type of people that can't even sleep at night until they've caused someone to fall. That's what they do. They go after people's jobs. They want to destroy our lives, but they also want to hurt us physically. They want to hurt us, and they will try. We got to be prepared for it. You know? And when someone bombs your church building, that just shows that they want to do violence. It's not just about, we want to show everybody what love's really like, so we're going to show up and try to defile everybody's kids' minds by looking at some sick drag queen. And you know what? In that film that we watched last night, he showed the library where all around the world they have these drag queen story hours. He intentionally did not show what they looked like in drag because it's so hideous and so disgusting that he didn't want to defile your minds with the images of those sodomites. If you, one thing that's good about being able to watch that film is there's not a lot of freaky-looking fags in there. And he did that on purpose. Because he doesn't want to defile our minds. You know, there's a couple of lispers that were talking in the film, but for the most part, he didn't show a bunch of freaks. He didn't show all their parades where they get up and do desecrate the Lord by showing him on a cross as gay. Or, you know, just all the weird stuff that they do. Why is it when they want to come out and show love that they want to hurt people?
Yeah.
That hurts me. That hurts my eyeballs. Makes me want to scratch them out when I have to see that. I don't like them serving my food. It's disgusting. But if you even say something, you're probably going to get your food spit in, so you might as well just leave. You know, I mean, we have to deal with these hateful... You know, here's what the New York Times said. It said, "Bomb explodes at California church known for hateful views." It's not just, hey, terrorists attack and destroy and blow up a church. They're wicked as hell, or they're evil. We're trying to find them. It's, no, bomb explodes at California church known for hateful views. So what? Is there something against having a hateful view? We have loving views too, but they never want to say that. How we want to reach our communities and go on missions trips and have people converted to Christ so that they can be saved and not have to go to hell. That's loving. You know what's not loving? It's trying to stop people like that from doing it. Who else is doing it? Who else is sending people in droves out soul winning and trying to get people saved? Right. Is it the Baptist church up the street? Or Baptist church up the street? No. Is it the Baptist church across town? No. No, they're not. They're not sending people out. And the one church that does, it's a mixed bag of what they're even going to say to the people at the door. We train soldiers to go out to battle, to spiritual battle for war. And you know what? We're trying to save people. We're not trying to end their lives.
Right.
We're trying to save their lives. We're trying to get them out of hell.
Yeah.
And they want to shut us down. They want to destroy our churches. They want to make us lose our jobs. They want to make us lose our lives.
Yeah.
It says, officials said no one was injured during the attack. So that just makes it okay. Don't worry. No one was injured in the attack. The church had been the target of protests over its message against women, Jews, LGBTQ people, and the Black Lives Matter movement. So that's how they lead off the article. It's okay because this is what they believe. You know what? We don't hate Jews. We don't hate Jews. We want Jews to be saved. We don't hate women. We just want them to be in the right role.
Amen. Right.
You know, that's going to help society.
Yeah.
We do hate LGBTQ people, though. That's true. And the Black Lives Matter people, it's not really about black. Look, see how they try to separate it?
Yeah.
They are the LGBT movement.
Yeah, right.
The Black Lives Matter are the LGBT movement.
Yeah.
They're one and the same.
Right.
They're against the nuclear family, which means a normal family.
Yeah.
We stand against that, they said. They want to be, you know, a village to raise people. I don't want some faggot raising my kid.
Amen.
I don't want some faggot having influence over my children. They're weird. They're psychopath reprobates. Watch the film. We have it here in the foyer. Please take one home and watch it if you haven't watched it. You know, Richard Ramirez is one of the featured psychopaths in that. And you know what he did? They don't really tell this out loud because, you know, they don't want you to know what these people really are. Was Richard Ramirez, he was the Night Stalker. And you know what he did? He killed people randomly. He'd kill older people. He'd kill young people, black, white. It didn't matter what color they were. Doesn't matter what neighborhood they came from. He just killed them all. But some people he let go. But he would rape women, and he'd rape men. He'd rape children. He would kidnap children, rape them, and let them go. Why do you think he would do that? Because he wants them to be the next generation of him. That's why. He was possessed. There's no doubt about that. So, but, you know, the media doesn't want that to get out because, you know, maybe back then they did. But when you watch a show about him, it generally doesn't tell that he was kidnapping little children, too. One of the girls he kidnapped was 6 years old, and she lived. One of the murders he did, he killed the dad, just shot him in his head while he was sleeping, raped the mother, then raped the 8-year-old boy. You know why? Because he was a psychopath, reprobate, and he was a sodomite.
Yep.
He was a queer. And then people will get up, like Hocus Pocus on the Family, and all these they want to poison our minds. You know how many Christians say that Jeffrey Dahmer was saved, that he repented at the last minute, that Ted Bundy was saved? He was a pedophile.
Yep.
Jeffrey Dahmer was a sodomite and pedophile. Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, was not saved. He never got saved. I don't know if people claimed that he was, but I know they claimed Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer. That is going to turn people off from the gospel, if anything. This is what these people are. They're disgusting. And the OIFB is a bunch of hating fag hags and queer baits. They are compromisers. You know why they never get attacked? You know why they never get persecuted? Because they never do anything for God. They quit doing things for God. Because if they were living godly in Christ Jesus, you'd hear about sometime them getting protested for something. I think Jeff Owens got protested because Pastor Anderson put that sermon online for people to hear. That's why he made the apology, because people said, "Hunt a homo week" or something like that, right?
Yeah.
That's what he said. And that's why he cowered down like the yellow striped back coward that he is.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 2. We'll turn to Jeremiah 2. Actually, stay where you're at. Stay at Matthew chapter 10, verse 18. It says, "And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake for a testimony against them. And the Gentiles..." So we're going to be brought before kings. We're going to be brought before these higher-ups. That's why it's against principalities and powers. It says, "And when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak." We're going to be having to give testimonies about the Lord. "For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." So in the end times... You know, and I'm sure there's been times in history where people had to get up and give an account of why they believe what they believe. The Spanish Inquisition, you know, all these different, you know, the Roman Catholics used to actually burn us alive and you know, hold us in cages until we died and just all kinds of different things like that. But we're going to have to give a testimony against them. And the Gentiles, the nations is what Gentiles mean. So these unbelievers, You know, we're going to have to be brought forth at some time, and not everybody's going to have to deal with this, but I'm sure that some people will. And we're going to have to give a testimony. And you know what? And they're not going to go, "Oh, you changed our minds. Thanks." No, we're telling them how it is from the Bible. That's what we got to do. And hey, the Bible says, don't predetermine what you're going to say. Just let the Spirit of the Lord influence you to say what you have to say. And that's why it's good to have some scripture memorized in your heart. Because, you know, that's a good thing to say is scripture when you're trying to testify about the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Jeremiah 2. Now I'll have you go to Jeremiah 2. But you know, it makes me sick. Last night, I'm banned on both Facebook accounts now, by the way. But it instantly, like I just called someone a piece of trash. And he was an old IFB guy. You know why I called him a piece of trash? Because he's like, the reason why he got his church bomb is because they hate women and Jews and lesbians. You know, like he was basically just regurgitating, you know, the New York Post article.
Wow.
It's like, what a piece. He is a piece of trash.
Right.
It just shows me he's not a brother in Christ.
Right.
You know, even if you don't agree with everything that we preach, which it's straight from the Bible, by the way, but even if you don't agree with everything we preach, you know, at least you could stand up when someone's being persecuted. But, you know, they don't know what persecution's like because they don't preach the Bible. They preach their commentaries. They preach all the garbage that they learned at cemetery. Seminary. They preach a bunch of wishy-washy fluff. They don't even have Bible verses practically in their sermons. And if they do, they're trying to exposit it so much that they're trying to figure out what the nail represents. Or the badger skins represent in Exodus. What does that represent? I mean, why don't you just go out and preach the Bible?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to know every detail of what everything means, you know, to look wax eloquent and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with learning doctrine and what things mean. I'm not saying that, but that's all they want to preach.
Yeah.
They don't want to preach the hard stuff. When they get to Romans, they just, you know, skip verse 26 through 31. They just skip the parts where they have to explain what a reprobate is.
Yep.
Or why God would give up on somebody twice. Why God would give them over to do those things that they do. And it spells out that these are fags.
Yeah.
Women changing the natural use. Men with men doing that which is unseemly. And receiving that recompense of their error which is meat. 15. They deserve to have AIDS. They deserve to be destroyed.
Yep.
And that's in the New Testament, my friends.
Amen.
It's not Old Testament. They're like, why don't you just preach the New Testament? How about Jude?
Yeah.
How about 2 Peter or 1 Peter chapter 2? 2 Peter chapter 2. How about, you know, I mean, the Bible explicitly tells us that these people are worthy of death.
Yep.
So, but, you know, we're not just hated by sodomites. We're hated by all kinds of different people.
Yeah.
You know, if we start preaching about women wearing breeches, I forget what they call them in England, but anyway, they call it different things. We say pants here.
Yeah.
But you start preaching about roles of men and women, what do they want to do? They want to blur the lines.
Yeah.
They want us all to have the same haircuts like the, what is that cult from the Heaven's Gate cult? You know what they have? All those people end up having the same haircuts, wearing the same clothes. You know why? Because that guy, Applewhite or whatever, or Applegate or whatever his name was, he was a fag. And the woman that was part of that group was a lesbian. They want us to conform to some weird thing where we're all omni-genders or something. You know what the first thing President Biden did? He put a drop down so if you're saying, you know, if you're emailing the White House, he, him, she, you know, they put the non-specific pronouns on there. They, them.
Yeah.
Hey, they, what's going on? What's up, them? How weird is that? At the place I work, when they send emails, they say they, them, he, or they just say like all of them just in case they miss one of the weird pronouns that they want to be called now. How about it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that one better. Yeah. It. Thing, freak. I like those ones better.
Amen.
Jeremiah 2, verse 32 says, can a maid forget her ornaments
or a bride her attire. Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Brother Sean, like mentioned this in his review, and I really like that verse. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Why are you trimming the message, you stinking cowardly Baptist? Why don't you just say what's right?
Yeah.
You scared little babies?
Yeah.
Just step down.
Yeah.
Any of the guys in this building that preach could do a better job than you do anyway.
Amen.
Quit shaving your legs and start preaching something hairy.
Amen.
Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? They want everybody to love them. Oh, how much do you love my sermon? Why don't you come up to the old-fashioned altar so I can know how good my sermon was? I just want to be loved by everybody. Well, that's what Billy Graham was too. He was loved by everybody. Was he saved? No. The problem is there's been a replacement within the pulpits of Baptists around this country. And I'd like to say that there's some good churches left in the old IFB, but man, they fail me every time, it seems like. And I'm not saying that there isn't, okay? I know that there's some diamonds in the rough out there. But most people that are from all parts of this country and all over the world would love to have a church like this church in their town, in their area, so that they could go and be sent out and serve the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their strength. It says, therefore, hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. The wicked ones. But you know what they like to do? They like to trim the message. They cut out parts of chapters when they're doing their Bible studies. There was a pastor that I know that I was being taught, that he was going through the Psalms, and guess what? When he got to Psalm 69, guess what he did? Oh, we don't have time for this last verse. The one that says that they're, you know, turn to Psalm 69. I forgot what verse it was, but I think it was the last verse. Psalm chapter 69. Let's look at it together. What did he skip over? I just remember I was so excited, and I was like, man, we're running out of time. You know, you look up at the clock, and they're doing their Bible, their Sunday school. Huh? Oh, yeah. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Let their table be, verse 22, let their table become a snare before them, that we should have been for their welfare, let it be a trap. And they're like, you know, and all these verses are talking about Judas, and it says, verse 28, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not written with the righteous. Skipped. I ran out of time. I had to watch some faggot singing in his church on some Facebook thing, too, the other day. It just made me sick. He let these two sodomites get up and sing a song. And you could tell the guy's queer as a $4 bill when he's up there. He's just like, you know, hi. You know, it's, oh, man, it's disturbing. I'll show it to you after the service. It's disgusting, you know, that he let those people in there. How do you not know? And then all the people in the church are like, oh, that was so great. That was so good. What was the name of the song, Remy? God is, Josh? God is the best. That was the song. It was just like, ding, 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 ding. God is the best. God is the best. It was a freak show faggots fest in that church. And how in the heck are you going to let some fag get up and sing a song and then let another one just talk in the service? It's an abomination.
Yeah.
Let those people into your church.
Yeah.
Number three, we will be hated by our closest relatives and friends. Get used to it. My wife reminded me of the time when I first got saved and how much my friends really just tried hard to zero in on me. I mean, they would literally say, you're not going to, you know, this isn't going to work. Your wife's brainwashing you. The pastor's brainwashing you. You know, it's all just a big brain. You know, come with us. Come with us. They actually showed up. Some of my friends showed up at my house at 2 o'clock in the morning one time to try to get me away from my wife. Yeah. I mean, the devil's boy was saved. And so they're I used to have a lot of wicked friends. And they wanted me to not do this. So, you know, to be a Christian and live the life, they were trying to pull me back into the world. And you know what my family did? The same exact thing. And they'll all do it to you too. And some of you have already gone through it, and some of you are going to go through it. But you know what? That's what Jesus said was going to happen. Look at verse 21 in our text in Matthew chapter 10. It says, "And brother shall deliver up brother." This is talking about your physical blood brother or whatever. "Brother shall deliver up brother to death." They'll actually literally turn you in to get you killed when that time comes. They're already doing it around the world in other places. You think that no other places are going through persecution as Christians? I'm sure there are. We just don't know about it. Because you know what? The media is not going to cover it.
Right.
The media is not going to cover up a Bible-believing Christian that gets killed in some other Muslim country. You think they're going to go, "Oh, yeah, the Muslim countries, you think that they just have like free press like we do?" But even our free press is compromised.
Yeah.
They won't even tell the truth. If they came here and filmed, they'd probably say, "There was 12 people in the service today." Why do they care about our numbers so much? Because they want people to think that we're just this minuscule minority. But we really are, if you think about it. How many churches, how many pastors are actually ripping face and telling the truth about this kind of stuff? It says, "Brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death." I mean, one of the people in our church didn't want to have pumpkins carved with his kids, and like, his dad doesn't even want to talk to him anymore. Just over that. I mean, that's not, I'm sure the verses were given about that. But like, literally not to talk to your children and see your grandchildren anymore because you wouldn't let them carve pumpkins. That's the division that comes. And so would it really surprise you if your family members hate you, everybody's muted you on Facebook, like you're like, "Why don't I ever see my family's posts on Facebook?" Because they've muted you, that's why. And Facebook has probably lost you down the wormhole, and you're just posting verses to your friends that go to the same church as you do. That's pretty much all that even sees what you're doing. They're like, "I'm reaching the world through Facebook." Not really. I can't even call someone a piece of trash or a whore anymore because instantly they ban you. They got the AI now, they can instantly ban you. I'm doing hard time, 30 days. That really, you know, I'm being persecuted for my faith right now. Just teasing. But my free speech has been lost. Isn't it funny how a big tech can just make people lose their free speech?
Yeah.
It's wicked. But look, don't be surprised when your family members and your friends hate you.
Yep.
We're going to be hated. You know what all means? It means all, right?
Right.
So I know the Calvinists have a difficult time with that, but we're Baptists. So it says that children shall rise up against their own parents and cause them to be put to death. Number 4, the true reason why we're hated. The real truth of the matter is not just because you're a Christian. It's because of Christ.
Yeah.
Look at verse 22. It says, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." This is talking about the tribulation. It's not,
right.
Okay, let me just stop right here. It doesn't mean you have to endure and do all these works to the end to be saved. This is talking about literally the people that are in the tribulation, the great tribulation, and if you're still alive when Jesus comes, you're going to get saved. You're not have to go through, you know, that torture. If you make it to the end and you look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And then you're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall be ever with the Lord after that. But it says you should be hated of all men for my name's sake. Whose name's sake? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they hate you. Don't think it's because of you. It's because of who you represent. He sends us out as sheep. He sends us out as doves. Because that's how he went out. And we're going to be persecuted because of him. It says, "When they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." When they persecute you, you don't have to just stay in the same place. Like if this place just got persecuted every day, we couldn't operate in this town anymore. I would just move our church to a different place.
Yeah.
You're like, that's not biblical, isn't it?
Yeah.
If this place becomes so reprobate that we can't even operate here, why would you stay in a place that's reprobate?
Yeah.
You know, Lot, you know, he seemed to enjoy it just fine, but the Bible actually does say he was vexed in his righteous soul day to day in seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds. Seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds. So if it ever comes to the point where I can't walk anywhere around here, or we can't do anything around here without seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds, I'm pulling up the stakes and I'm going to move to Texas or something. I don't know. Idaho. Hawaii. No, not Hawaii. But someplace where it's receptive. Someplace where people still want to hear. Not a place where nobody ever wants to hear anymore. And it's the persecution that would drive us into that direction. It says, and when they persecute you, flee into another city. Doesn't say fight. Doesn't say pull out your AR. It says to flee.
Yeah.
If they persecuted us, then they'll if they persecuted Jesus, then they're going to persecute us. That's the world we live in. That's what you chose to be in. And if you're not being persecuted, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
I'm not saying you have to be persecuted at all times. I'm just saying, if you never, ever receive persecution from anybody, nobody ever hates you, nobody's ever mad at you, then you might be a Joel Osteen convert. God's not mad at you. But that's the type of, that's what these Baptist preachers want, is they want to be like Joel Osteen. Except for, say they're independent, say they're fundamental. Oh, I'm independent, I'm fundamental, I'm King James only, but I just don't preach certain parts of it. That's what they are. And like you saw Charles Lawson, 4 years after he said that sodomites should be put to death, he's like, I've always wanted homos in my church. I'll roll out the red carpet. I mean, that is a double-minded man. So in John chapter 15, turn to John chapter 15. I know I'm running over. What else is new? John chapter 15. Bible says in verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. Because you're not of this of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Why does the world hate you? Because Jesus has chosen us out of the world.
Yep.
We're not of the world.
Yeah.
So if you're worldly, you're not going to get persecuted. You can be saved and be worldly, but you're not going to, the people aren't going to hate you because you're doing the same things that they're doing. It says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. So that's what people don't like. If we don't come and tell people, if I don't preach to people, hey, this is a sin. If you don't tell other people in your life that there is, you know, if you tell people in their life that they're in sin, they don't have a cloak for it anymore. They know what that sin is.
Yeah.
People want to be ignorant. The darkness hates the light. So it says, if I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. So they saw the works, they saw the light, they saw the righteousness, but they said, hey, I still want to be in darkness. I don't want what you have. You can do all the lifestyle evangelism you want, but some people are never going to want what you have. So quit trying that stupid route. Obviously, you want to live godly in Christ Jesus and show people, you know, I've been changed by the Lord or whatever. But that's not what gets people saved. It's the Word of God, all right? But people are more willing to listen to you if you're holy, right? It says, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the book or in the law. They hated me without a cause. People will just hate you without a cause. But there's some prerequisites to it. Why did they hate Jesus? He did good things. He fed the 5,000. He walked on water. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He healed blind people. He healed deaf people. He raised people's only sons from the dead. Why would you hate someone like that? Yeah, because their deeds are evil. That's why. Verse 24 in Matthew. Let's go back there real quick. It says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? They called Jesus the devil. They said he was doing his miracles by the power of the devil. So what are they going to say about you? I mean, I don't know how it gets worse than being called the devil himself. But it says, how much more shall they call them of his household? They're going to say all manner of evil things about you. They say all manner of evil things about the Lord, and they're going to say evil things about you. 2 Timothy 2, or verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 11 says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra. This is the Apostle Paul talking. What persecutions I endured, but of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. One someday, if you're living godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. It's going to happen. And it's not always someone trying to bomb your house or something like that. It can come in many different forms. But if you're living godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to go through persecution. So why aren't the other Baptist churches going through any persecution? I don't understand it. You know why? Because they're not living godly in Christ Jesus. That's why. They're not preaching the truth from their pulpit anymore. It's fluff central. Grace. Let's go through another series this year. We're going to go and do this again because I don't think you all got it. Another 52-week series of grace. That's what they do. Well, they just talk about things that aren't going to persecute them. Hey, they got the gay thing out of the way. Now they just let them in. Okay, why? Hey, you should just be nice to them. You should just be nice. My favorite part of the movie yesterday was the part when Sam or John Getch is up. He knows the Bible. He brags that he has like 10,000 verses memorized in the Bible. Oh, you don't know the one about Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13? He says, be nice to them. Everybody deserves respect. And Pastor Anderson's response was, you faggot! And even if he isn't, he's defending them. So don't be surprised when your family's against you, when you're being persecuted, because the Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It doesn't say they're going to get better and better. We don't believe in amillennialism. The world's going to get worse and worse, not better and better. Deceiving and being deceived. That's what the cycle is. They deceive, they get deceived. It's just a vicious cycle of just lies. The haters of God want us to be afraid, number 5. But we should only have fear of God. Look back at your text. It says, fear them not, therefore. For there's nothing covered that can be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. People fear the wrong people. Christians fear the wrong people. Jesus is saying, hey, don't fear the wrong people. Fear the right person, God. Because he's the one that can cast people into hell. He's the one that can kill the soul. Hey, that's the person you should fear. Because he has power over all these principalities and powers. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. If you're God's child, he knows exactly how many hairs you have on your head, and probably on your beard and in your armpits or whatever. But let's just, for the sake of not getting gruesome here, your hair. He knows the ones I've lost. He knows where they're thinning. I'm hoping he's counting the ones from before going into male pattern baldness. But I don't know for sure. But he does know this, how many hairs are on each head. Isn't it funny how, you know, it talks about the, you know, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how when they went in the fiery furnace, their hair didn't even get touched. It says, fear ye not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So hey, this is not the time to say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with this anymore. Churches are getting bombed, I'm afraid. We're not supposed to fear them. It says, fear them not, therefore. Our hairs are numbered on our head. And you know what that means? That those hairs will be restored. Even if you get blown up, all your hair gets back. Same place. Hopefully more for me. But I don't know. I mean, I'll be bald in the kingdom of heaven. I don't care. Number six, he didn't bring peace, but a sword. Verse 34, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. You're like, well, he's the Prince of Peace, though. Yeah, but that peace is in the future. Right now is the battle for the hearts and the minds and the souls of the planet. It says, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. If you're saved and your father's not, guess what? There's not going to be peace.
Yep. Yep. Right.
No matter how hard you try, there's not going to be peace.
Right.
For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Sometimes it's even within the family unit itself that there's division. That's a sword. That's fighting. That's things that are going wrong in your life. But that's what Jesus said. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I came to bring division. And what are we supposed to be divided from? From the world. From the wickedness of this world. He that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. If your son or daughter or cousin or Siamese twin ends up being a fag, have nothing to do with them. If you love them more than you love God, then you're not right with God. And he's not going to bless your life. And it's a bad picture to show other people. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Have you lost your life today? I mean, I'm talking about in a spiritual way. Your old life, have you lost that life today? I hope so. Because it says, if you lose your life, you're going to find it. You're going to find a better life in Christ Jesus. And if you lose your life in the flesh for his sake, you're going to find it. So even if we do get killed, even if we do get hurt, even if, you know, we get persecuted to the maximum, we're still going to be in heaven. So there's nothing to fear. We fear sometimes, and everybody fears sometimes. But don't let this strike at your heart and make you afraid. Because that's what the reprobates want. That's what the wolves want. That's what the world wants. That's what the people in high places, New York Times, all these other fake media outlets, that's what President Biden, not my hair sniffer. I'm going to read you one last verse. Romans 12:19. And here's the thing that's most important that we got to understand about all this stuff. Look, it gets us mad. It gets us fired up. But the Bible says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Give place unto wrath. Isn't that the same thing that I was talking about earlier? For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. God's got this. And it doesn't say, I might repay. No, I will repay. Those people that bombed Pastor Mejia's church the other night, you know what? God's going to repay them. Pastor Mejia doesn't have to lift a finger. All the mighty men of God down there and the mighty women of God down there at that church, they don't have to lift a finger.
Amen.
You know, because God has it. He's going to avenge them and he's going to bring them to naught. He's going to destroy them. And whether it happens 90 years from now or all eternity in hell, God's got this. We don't have to fight back. That's the great thing about it. It's not like we have to just get killed and nothing ever happens to the people that do it to us. No, something's about to happen. Something about to happen. They're going to be destroyed. Yeah, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Bible says we're going to be hated. The Bible says we're going to be persecuted. But you know what? We're supposed to just take it like chance. And realize, you know, that he's going to destroy the wicked, and we're going to wash our feet in the blood of the wicked, the Bible says. Which sounds kind of gross, but it's just true. And we know what? Even though things come at us, all these darts are thrown at us, and we're in these churches that are so radical, God's got us. And hey, if we're being persecuted, then know this. We must be saying something right. Amen. We must be doing something right. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the Bible and for men of God that will stand up and preach the truth, even though it hair-lips every dog in town. Lord, I pray that you'd help our church, help us to not be afraid, even though all these things are happening around us. I especially pray today for Pastor Mejia and his family, and Lord, the church family down there. Lord, I pray that the people that did this would be brought to justice, and Lord, you'd repay them to their face for what they've done. And Lord, I pray that everything would be stronger and even better, and that, Lord, lots of people would see the truth of what the Sodomites really are, and that, Lord, maybe they would turn away from their loving of the LGBT community and knowing that you hate them, Lord. And, Lord, maybe some people would be saved just as a result of all seeing all these things happen. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the film that Pastor Shelley put out, The Sodomite Deception. I pray that you would just use that film to wake up people. And even if it just wakes up 10 people, it's all worth it. And, Lord, we pray you'd bless us as we go out. And even if we get persecuted, Lord, that we just continue to serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Page 393 in your blue hymnal. We'll sing our last song. Page 393, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Page 393, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Sing it out on the first verse.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood, a mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils fill should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him on the last. That word above all earthly ours. Through him who with us sided, let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Man, good singing, everyone. I'd like to see you out soul winning back here at 3:30 for our evening service. Brother Justin, you want to end us with a word of prayer?